Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Welcome in to Football Full Circle on this Wednesday right here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens, joined by Joe Lisi on this Wednesday. And Joe, we start with some big news in the NFL in this offseason as it pertains to a quarterback. But first and foremost, my friend, how are we feeling on this Wednesday?
Oh, doing well, Ben. Second show together, amped up. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. Breaking news out of Las Vegas with Derek Carr. We're on the precipice of the NFL draft, USFL on the horizon. I'm amped up to talk college and pro football with you, buddy.
You know that we will break down some of those USFL lines. We have some news out of the XFL as well. Some of the additional football leagues as the USFL gets underway this weekend, and there are lines out on the FanDuel Sportsbook for us to start to take a glimmer at, although I'm not sure what my handicapping expertise will be in the USFL. But first, we start with the NFL because it is always king, even here in the middle portion of April. A big contract extension, as you heard Joe mention, for Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders, agreeing to a three-year, $121.5 million extension that will keep him under contract in the Desert, Joe, until 2025. Playing under the final year of his current contract this upcoming year in 2022, but adds on three more and an additional $121.5 million. Joe, I think it shows that Vegas is all in on Derek Carr, all in on having his former college teammate in Davante Adams alongside now as well, looking forward to trying to get back to the playoffs for a second straight season.
Yeah, let's not forget, you know, when John Gruden did get fired, it was Derek Carr that took this team on his shoulders, right? From an offensive perspective, it was Derek Carr. And from a defensive perspective, it was defensive end Max Crosby that they just signed to an extension as well. And I thought he showed me something, Ben. When you look at the yards this year, 4,800 passing yards, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He had like eight games over 300 yards and put his team in a position. Let's not forget, you know, Cincinnati's toughest game really came in the wild card matchup against Las Vegas. They were knocking at the door on the 9-yard line, couldn't convert. If they win that ball game, who knows? Maybe Las Vegas does make a Super Bowl run just the way Joe Burrow did. So I think he's mentioned, in my opinion, in the top 15 quarterbacks, NFC and AFC as well. So we'll see what he could do with Davante Adams. I mean, he should be poised for at least a 5,000-yard campaign this year.
He has spent his entire eight-year career with the Raiders organization since he was drafted out of Fresno State back in the second round of the 2014 NFL draft. Career-high numbers that Joe just mentioned. He's also the Raiders' all-time leader in passing yards at 31,700, an all-time leader in TD passes as well, totaling 193. And now playing alongside his former college teammate and arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, and Davante Adams, should be a prolific year offensively. That's the hope for the Las Vegas Raiders. So a big contract, Joe Lisi, but no real movement in the odds market. And here's the very fascinating thing about the AFC overall, but specifically the AFC West here, which everybody considers the best division in football, getting ready for this 2022 NFL campaign. The Chiefs are still the favorites at plus 155. The Chargers less than a dollar off that price at plus 240. The Broncos only 20 cents behind LA at plus 260. And the Raiders, Joe, again, a playoff team last year, have the longest odds in this division at plus 700. I don't think that speaks to Las Vegas. I think it just speaks to how competitive the AFC West is going to be this year when you have a playoff team in the Raiders with all that they have done this offseason and bringing back Max Crosby on the other side, adding on Chandler Jones to your defensive front as well, and of course, getting Devontae Adams in that lucrative trade from the Green Bay Packers. Now you give a big contract extension to your quarterback and Derek Carr, yet you still have the longest odds in your own division. Speaks to how difficult and how much of a gauntlet the AFC West is going to be this season.
Oh, without a doubt. And let's not forget, you know, last year, no love either. Even with John Gruden, their win total was basically 6.5. They exceeded that with a great run towards the wild card. And how about this year? I mean, I can't believe 7-1 to win the division. And I brought this up the other day, Ben. You know, they're almost like the New York Giants in the NFC East. This is a team that went to the wild card last year. They added on possibly one of the best wide receivers in the game in Devontae Adams. Chandler Jones is going to make that defense much better. And you have Las Vegas pegged as a 28-1 shot to win the AFC this year? It just makes absolutely no sense to me. I know Deshaun Watson's good, but I mean, how far ahead is Cleveland than Las Vegas right now in terms of the love that all these teams are getting before the Las Vegas Raiders? Makes absolutely no sense. I'm throwing money down on Las Vegas at 28-1 to win the AFC, and you want to take a flyer at Derek Carr at 25-1 to be a MVP candidate. Makes sense now, especially now that he's getting his money.
Joe, I think it's just because of how competitive this conference is going to be that when you have the four teams in the AFC West, all true playoff contenders, and the three teams in the AFC North, just based on the structure of how things work, not everybody can make the postseason. In fact, the Raiders are plus 205 right now to make the playoffs this upcoming year, and their team win total is 8. I think it just goes to show how tough it is going to be in that division. When you're playing your divisional opponents 6 times this season, and how are you going to chalk up the wins on the win-loss column to make sure that you can have a position in the postseason, either as the divisional winner or maybe in that wild card spot? We'll continue the discussion around the AFC and why it is so difficult this year. Also looking at some of the news around the NFL as well. Stay with us here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Back right here on FFC on a Wednesday on Sirius XM channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens, and Derek Carr is a much wealthier man than both Joe and I. A 3-year contract extension with the Las Vegas Raiders worth north of $121 million. Also a no trade clause added in to this contract extension, Joe. And we were talking about where the Raiders find themselves in the odds market, looking to the future next year in the 2022 NFL season. Plus 700, the longest odds in the AFC West. And you mentioned their price for Vegas in the AFC championship market. 28-1 behind teams like the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. The Dolphins even, Joe. The Patriots have better and shorter odds than that of the Vegas Raiders. We're talking about a Vegas Raiders team that made it to the playoffs last year, Joe, led by Derek Carr. Now you add in Devontae Adams and you bring back Max Crosby, who was sensational last year, and you add Chandler Jones to spell him on the other side. 28-1 seems like a very long price for the Raiders.
Oh, huge. And when you couple in the fact, Ben, that in their division, the L.A. Chargers are getting all the love. This is a team that's plus 850 in terms of the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the AFC. And all they did it was knock out the L.A. Chargers in the final regular season game. Yet we have Brandon Staley, AP frontrunner for Coach of the Year at 14-1. We have Justin Herbert, a 10-1 shot to win the MVP. And we have the L.A. Chargers, 850. the ahead of the Las Vegas Raiders makes absolutely no sense. And they're plus 240 to win the division. So what am I missing? I understand that the team might take another step under Brandon Staley, but everybody tells me you can't look behind. Oh, the last year was last year. Well, if we can't look at last year, where Las Vegas got into the playoffs and the LA Chargers choked and didn't get in, how can we look ahead and say and project LA is that much better head and shoulders over the Las Vegas Raiders, not just on the field, but from the odds perspective?
Absolutely so, Joe. I think you bring up a great point because the Raiders have that proven postseason experience and they delivered when they needed to last year and then they only got better because that's the hope for the Chargers, right? They added pieces to their defense. Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, now a part of that Chargers defense, certainly going to help out in what was not a good run defense in the first year under Brandon Staley, of course, but it's all the promise offensively under Justin Herbert, now entering his third year as well. And it's the promise for what the Broncos was bringing with Russell Wilson, now their quarterback in the Mile High City. And we talked about the odds in the AFC West, Joe. The Chargers plus 240, the second best price behind the Chiefs, who are the favorites at plus 155. The Broncos plus 260 within the AFC West divisional odds, both at plus 850 to win the AFC Championship, tied for the third best odds. Buffalo was the favorite at plus 350. The Chiefs $1.50 behind at 5-1. And three of the four top teams now, Joe, out of the AFC West. So the Raiders have to drop off there. And I think that's what this discussion gets into, is because you have all of these teams in the AFC that all have the same goal in mind, to be a true conference contender for that championship. Look at the marketplace right now. The Buffalo Bills are the favorites at plus 350. But then the next six teams all come from the AFC West or the AFC North, because behind the AFC West is the Browns at 10-1, the Bengals, who won the AFC last year at 11-1, and the Baltimore Ravens, who we cannot forget either, also at 11-1. And it's just the structure of how the postseason works, Joe. You can't have all six of those teams from two of the divisions within the conference all make it. They're not going to be good enough from a record standpoint to qualify as a wild card team. Not all of them can do that based on where we are with a seven-team postseason now in the NFL playoffs. These seven teams, with the Buffalo Bills included as the favorites in this market, can't make it, all of them. It just does not work out logistically, because you need the divisional winners from the AFC East, which is probably going to be Buffalo, and of course the divisional winner out of the AFC South. That's going to be a two-team race, it seems, between Indianapolis and Tennessee. So the practical nature of it, Joe, really speaks to those odds. You can take a flyer on Cleveland to win the AFC if you think they are going to be that team to beat in the AFC North. I do not. Still a lot to figure out with Deshaun Watson's availability based on what the league office has to say. I just don't think there's a lot of value on a lot of those teams, because they might not even make the postseason just based on how the structure goes, Joe. And I think we see that reflected in a few of the team win totals. We mentioned it. The Raiders are at 8 for their team win total. A 10-win team last year who only got better. The Chargers are at 10. A 10-17 is firmly, firmly on that wild card line. Not a team that's going to be a contender right away to win a conference championship, in my mind.
Yeah, and to your point, you got to believe that Josh McDaniels makes Derek Carr and Devontae Adams better, right? John Gruden was supposed to be the answer. Bisaccia kept it together. The players bought in. They showed intensity. They maintained the resolve throughout the year, and I agree with you. And I think here's another thing, too. I have question marks about other teams as well. Let's look outside the AFC West, Ben. When you look at Baltimore, yeah. I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's one of the most athletic and dynamic quarterbacks. But again, has he really elevated his passing, and that offense has evolved to where you say, oh yeah, you know what, Baltimore is a sure thing to win the division and more importantly get to a championship game? I'm not sold on that. And then Indianapolis with Matt Ryan now. Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill had the number one seed, couldn't knock off Joe Burrow. And then on top of that, we're going to put Miami and New England shorter odds than the Las Vegas Raiders, who have, in my opinion, the most polished, experienced veteran quarterback out of all three of those teams.
I completely agree, Joe. I mean, that's really the point here. And that's the idea of how are you going to find your way through this competitive conference in the AFC? Because if you're beating up on one another within your own division or within your own conference, you make it that much more difficult to get to the postseason. Your regular season record, if it's 9-8, is not going to benefit you by the time we get to the postseason. If you have a team like the Titans who are taking advantage of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Texans being an 11-6 team, sure, you could look on paper and you can look at the roster and maybe even a single game scenario and say to yourself, the Browns are a better team than the Titans, more talented. The Ravens are a better team than the Colts, more talented. But based on the actual record and how you perform next year, that's what's going to dictate your playoff positioning and how you have a chance to be a divisional winner in the weaker divisions within the AFC or being a wild card team by the time we get to the end of next regular season in the NFL. Joe, flipping it here quickly from the AFC to the NFC. The Washington Commanders in the news cycle, but for all the wrong reasons. Washington 31-1 to win the NFC championship. Rather long odds, obviously, to do so. But Congress is investigating the organization and specifically team owner Dan Snyder. And in a letter yesterday sent to the Federal Trade Commission, a 20-page letter, it detailed how the Washington Commanders, over the course of their history here in recent years, have failed to refund security deposits to fans, concealed revenue from other NFL teams and the league office, and kept two sets of financial books. Joe, I'll just say this. The bar for Dan Snyder to get booted as the owner of the Washington Commanders football organization is incredibly high. If harassment is not going to do it, and a litany of other issues is not going to do it, and the NFL turns a blind eye to those very serious issues, once you start messing with the fiscal nature and the monetary value of other billionaires and other NFL team owners, that might be the nail in the coffin.
Oh, without a doubt. It's a bad look for the organization all around, Ben. And when you embezzle or take money or do not refund money back to fans, that's just a bad look. How do you build your fan base and build confidence in those fans to come out and see your product? So I agree with you 100%. Bad look for the Washington Commanders. They need to move on from Dan Snyder, and we'll see if that happens over the next few months.
Joe, in that 20-page letter sent to the FTC, a representative out of Illinois with maybe the quote and the bombshell of it all. Quite frankly, as you go through these allegations, it reads like a description of some organization out of The Godfather and not an NFL football team. We'll see what happens with this very serious matter for the Washington Commanders football organization. Next up here on Football Full Circle, a look back at the NFL draft odds. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Back on Football Full Circle as we're nearing in on the NFL draft. Just over 2 weeks away from heading out to Las Vegas, where all of the NFL attention will be played on that first round of the 2022 NFL draft. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. And Joe, we started to break down some of these odds yesterday because there's a ton of plus money to be had. And right now, maybe some of that plus money needs to be directed at the Jacksonville Jaguars and what they might do at number one overall. Additional reports today out of NFL league circles, and of course it's smokescreen season, it's lying season. We need to put that into context as we approach the NFL draft. But additional reports out of Duval County today that Trent Baalke, the GM for the Jacksonville Jaguars, continues to be further impressed by Trayvon Walker, reminding him of Aldon Smith, who Baalke drafted back when he was the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. And Joe, as we put that into the odds perspective, Trayvon Walker, the second best price at plus 350 to go number one overall to Jacksonville. But of course, Aiden Hutchinson, the edge rusher out of Michigan, is the minus money odds on favorite at minus 250. Additional reports, Joe, sometimes when there's smoke, there is fire. What do you make of some of this noise out of Jacksonville that they might be honing in on Trayvon Walker being a realistic possibility at number one?
Oh, I think it has legs, and I think it's live at plus 350, Ben. I really do. And you mentioned Balky with Aldon Smith. Now, Aldon Smith didn't have the type of career with the San Francisco 49ers that Balky would have liked, but he's an athlete. He was an athletic defensive end, long wingspan. Same thing with Trayvon Walker. And I think if we're breaking down both Aiden Hutchinson and Walker, I think the pedigree of an SEC caliber, dominant caliber player coming off the edge holds more weight, in my opinion. I know you're Big Ten Ben, but then the Big Ten overall and Aiden Hutchinson, especially when we talked about the pedigree and the lineage of Michigan players from a defensive perspective, making dividends on the next level, especially in years one and two, right? That's what it comes down to, upside. What can I get out of Hutchinson? What can I get out of Trayvon Walker in year one, and can I project him to be an all-pro 2 or 3 years down the road? I think Walker's the guy. We mentioned he's about 6'3", 275, physical at the point of attack. I love him in terms of run-stuffing ability as well. That's an added dimension. And I think you have to look at Aiden Hutchinson as well. Last game played against a big physical SEC caliber offensive line in terms of Georgia. He was neutralized. I think that's where Balky goes. Trayvon Walker could be the pick.
It's so interesting, Joe, to see the rise of Trayvon Walker, not only in the odds board, but across a lot of draft boards in the NFL. Not a guy necessarily, at least according to the odds, that was even in the top three of edge rushers for this 2022 NFL draft. Often the debate was not Aiden Hutchinson against Trayvon Walker to go number one overall. It was Aiden Hutchinson against Kayvon Thibodeau, and Kayvon Thibodeau was the favorite at a point to go number one overall as we entered last college football season. Over Aiden Hutchinson. So Trayvon Walker's rise has been substantial. And a lot of times, I think when the odds start to back up a rise in what the smoke screens might seem to be, or the narratives or conversation might seem to be, it feels like it carries more weight. It feels like it is more substantial on a guy like Trayvon Walker, because the plus 350 number is as short as we have seen it on Trayvon Walker to go number one overall. It'll be interesting as we get here in the final 2 weeks of this buildup to the 2022 NFL draft, where that number starts to go. Because if it comes down on Aiden Hutchinson, let's say it gets to the time we talk on Monday, Joe, minus 180, minus 175, minus 150 on Aiden Hutchinson, where he is still an odds-on favorite to be selected first overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars, but you see that gap starting to shorten, and maybe Trayvon Walker gets to within plus 250, plus 225, I will feel even more so that this has substantial legs to it, and I would not be shocked any longer to see Trayvon Walker go number one on draft night just over 2 weeks from right now. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the opening round, that first round on a Thursday night in Las Vegas, and that's, I think, what Trayvon Walker can be, and that's a lot of the explanation we're starting to get now on this Georgia star, who at plus 350, Joe, it might be the best number we see on Trayvon Walker from a plus money perspective before it could continue to get shorter.
Yeah, great point, Ben. And also keep in mind, defensive-minded coach in terms of Kirby Smart, top defense in all of college football. We sat here throughout TMA and throughout the last year talking about, you know, which team would score more than 9 points or 10 points on Georgia's defense, right? Trayvon Walker was the main reason why. And you just look at, you know, we talk about maybe Michigan players not living up to expectations on the defensive side of the ball. How about the Georgia players? Leonard Floyd, Roquan Smith for Chicago a couple of years ago, right? Taking eighth overall. Yeah. They hit the ground running, so to speak, had very productive careers, and have added, you know, another dimension to their game as they progress through the NFL. I like Trayvon Walker. Again, if we're talking, you know, both of these players, Hutchinson, Thibodeau, Trayvon Walker, SEC caliber, big wingspan, he plays with a motor, and he's physical at the point of attack. The other two players, Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson, in big games, sometimes they were neutralized, and I think that's the question mark or the concern that Jacksonville has maybe as we inch a couple of weeks out from the NFL draft.
Because, Joe, the plus money that we're seeing on Trayvon Walker to go number one overall right now is not the only area we can find plus money on the Georgia edge rusher in the stud, a part of the best scoring defense these two eyes have ever seen, and the best scoring defense by a large margin last year in college football. My favorite bet of all of last year was Georgia opponent team total unders. Even if it was 10.5, you hold on to the ticket and you pray that it's going to hit, and it often did. But Trayvon Walker to go number one overall, plus 350. Trayvon Walker to go number two overall to the Detroit Lions, plus 250. Aiden Hutchinson is still the favorite, as we discussed yesterday, to go number two overall at plus 200. But it's interesting when you see the player draft position and those markets start to pop up for some of the bigger names that will go early on in the first round. Trayvon Walker's draft position over under is 3.5, where the under is heavily juiced of that 3.5 number, Joe, at minus 270. The over is 3.5. at plus 195. And here is the only argument I'll make for the potential of that plus money hitting on the over. If Jacksonville follows the odds right now at minus 250 and decides to ultimately go with Aiden Hutchinson, we had the QB conversation yesterday. If Detroit at number two decides to go with Malik Willis and to take that shot with a quarterback at number two overall to try to be the face of the future of your franchise, number three is where it gets interesting. But right now, the favorites on the board are two offensive linemen, Ike Ekwonu, the O-tackle out of NC State, and of course the offensive tackle Evan Neal out of Alabama. That shows me right now that based on draft positional need, Houston probably going O-line, which would then push Trayvon Walker's draft position over under of that 3.5 to the over if the draft plays out as I just laid it out right there. I would not be surprised if Detroit, whoever does not go number one, if it's Aiden Hutchinson going one, they take Trayvon Walker two. If it's Trayvon Walker one to Jacksonville, there is no doubt in my mind that Aiden Hutchinson goes number two overall. But there is a potential, despite how good Trayvon Walker is, and despite what he presents off the edge, the athleticism and the tools he has for the next level, and despite where I think he might be going and where he is moving in that number one overall selection to the Jags, that he could hit an over of the 3.5 of his draft position just based on what the other three teams do before Trayvon Walker becomes a part of the mix for this 2022 NFL draft.
Oh, yeah. It really is hit or miss with Trayvon Walker. Either I believe he's going one, or let's say he goes in the area of 5 to 8. It's that possibility. So, to your right point, the over 3.5 at plus 194 is live. You know, now, it's not live if Jacksonville goes up to the stand and podium and says, we take Trayvon Walker, then you're a dead loser. But you're rolling that type of dice because you have Detroit at number two. Detroit can go in a multitude of ways. They can roll the dice with Malik Willis if they want their quarterback of the future and or another quarterback. They could trade out. So there's always the potential of another team jumping up in front of Detroit and maybe selecting another different player. And then there's Houston at number three. Do they go defensive end? If they do, maybe Thibodeau's a fit for them as opposed to Trayvon Walker, or they go offensive tackle, whether Evan Neal or Ekwonu fits their scheme better. So you're absolutely right. I think if you're going to make the bet on over 19, meaning plus over 3.5 plus 194 for Trayvon Walker, it's assuming that they just go by the script. Aiden Hutchinson has been the front runner from the beginning. We think he gets taken. Number two is Detroit. Well, you know what? They might go Thibodeau. They might go another offensive tackle. We don't know. And then they might even trade out. And then Houston would really have to take them. And I don't see that happening with Lovie Smith.
Right, and number three overall right now, that market on the FanDuel Sportsbook that we're talking about, Ike Ekwonu, Ike Ekwonu, as he is known out of NC State, is the favorite at plus 175. Evan Neal, $1.25 behind, both offensive tackles at plus 300. Trayvon Walker does have the third best price at plus 500. And then, Joe, we can correlate this to the other markets in the NFL draft, and that's the great thing about all of the markets available for you to find that value as we get ready for the first round, because if you think it's going to be heavy defense, if you think Trayvon Walker could go number one or number two, and Aiden Hutchinson fits that bill as well, especially in the top 10, Joe, I see a lot of the focus on the defense, that maybe you take the over of the 15 and a half defensive players drafted in the first round. The over has the juice at minus 122. Of course, the FanDuel Sportsbook is quite cheeky because the number of offensive players drafted in the first round is 16 and a half, and the under has the juice at minus 122. Pretty much a dead even split based on the juice. We'll continue to talk about the NFL draft, and the USFL gets underway this weekend. Stay with us here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle rolls on right here on Sports Grid Radio on this Wednesday in Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens, joined by Joe Lisi. Our hour almost coming to a close, but still some to get to here when it comes to the NFL draft. Because, Joe, 2 weeks from tomorrow night, we're going to be on the first round in Las Vegas when Jacksonville will officially be on the clock for that number one overall selection. And a lot of our focus today different from yesterday. Yesterday was the quarterback conversation. Where might Malik Willis go? Where might Kenny Pickett go? How do those two quarterbacks correlate against each other, and where can we find the value? We've been doing the same here for edge rushers, another huge position to highlight in this upcoming NFL draft, and the conversation around Trayvon Walker potentially going first overall now, and that steam starting to build to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, Aiden Hutchinson is minus 250, a heavy odds on favorite to go number one overall to Jacksonville. Trayvon Walker is plus 350 with the second best odds to go number one overall to the Jags as well. You have to scroll down the board, Joe, to find Kayvon Thibodeau at 25 to 1. Kayvon Thibodeau was a guy that was right there with Aiden Hutchinson neck and neck for most of this college football season this past year in terms of who was going to be the number one overall selection. In fact, Joe, at this time last year, as we got ready for the upcoming draft following a new college football season, Kayvon Thibodeau was thought to be the shoo-in to go number one overall, the top prospect on a lot of boards all around league organizations.
It was, right? Then he gets injured. He doesn't play against Ohio State. The Oregon gets the victory without him. He comes back into the lineup. They have an opportunity to win or go to the college football playoff. They get absolutely boat raced in Salt Lake City by a blue-collar team in the Utah Utes. And I think that from that point on, Ben, that's where maybe scouts and GMs had their doubts about Kayvon Thibodeau in terms of the next level being this dominant elite pass rusher, you know, that we've seen in the previous three seasons. So I think that that opened up the door, and then all of a sudden the fact of he was worried about his brand, the NIL deal, I think that crept into some coaches and some GM's minds, and that's why you saw a little bit of a slip. But I think if there's one player that when we talk upside, right, and we talk potential, that's what we all see in terms of Malik Willis, or that's what the value is, right? You take Malik Willis because you don't know what you're going to get. Same thing with Kayvon Thibodeau. We know the size, 6'5", 235. We know he has a motor when he's on, but we haven't seen it consistently. We haven't seen it in those big games at the end of the year. Well, if we take him and we could channel that, maybe, just maybe, he can live into that first round billing. And I think a team will take him. I think when you look at him, not first overall, but in terms of his value, 5.5, I think there's going to be a team like Houston or like the New York Giants that roll the dice and say, you know what, we can get the most out of this guy, and we're willing to put in the time and the work over a 2 or 3 year period.
The talent The size, the skill of Kayvon Thibodeau is certainly still there, despite some of the narratives surrounding where his mental state might be in terms of how much does he love football. I think that is always overvalued, Joe. I think it's a way for potential NFL organizations to feel like they missed on a guy. Kayvon Thibodeau, to me, is an absolute freak of nature and an animal out there. And when he has been healthy, his performance on the football field has been spectacular. Of course, a huge performance in one of the biggest games for the Ducks last year in the Rose Bowl against UCLA when Oregon was actually booked as a slight underdog in that matchup. But you mentioned the draft position for Thibodeau. 5.5, and the over has the juice at -136, +102 for the under there of the 5.5, also could present some value. So again, we're talking about three edge rushers right now, Joe, that are all probably going to be top 10 picks. At least that's what we think as of right now. And as we look at the top 10 odds that are available on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're not even listing a guy like Aiden Hutchinson because of the idea that he's -125 to go number one overall. Trayvon Walker also not listed. And when you look for Kayvon Thibodeau, he's also not there, which goes to speak of the idea it almost feels like they're shoo-ins to be within that top 10 because of how good they all are as an edge rusher. In the top five market, Trayvon Walker is -450 to be a top five pick, and Kayvon Thibodeau is even money at +100. So, Joe, a lot of defensive players have been our focus here. We touched on this market right before we got to break. The overall defensive players selected in the 2022 NFL Draft's first round. The number is at 15.5. Of course, 32 NFL teams, or at least 32 selections, made in the first round. So 15.5 for defensive players, and the over has the juice at -122. It feels like to me, especially early on in that top 10, we'll see a bunch of defensive players go off the board. Would you be more likely to take the over of that 15.5 or under 15.5 defensive players in the first round?
Yeah, this year I think we're going to see a top heavy in terms of the top 10, and I think we're going to tail off as the round progresses down to the 32. So I'm going to lean to the under. I don't know if it's as elite of a class as we've seen in terms of last year and a couple of years ago as well. So I'm going to lean to the under, but that doesn't mean in the first 10 picks we're not going to get maybe 6 or 7 elite pass rushers and or linebackers or even a player like Jordan Davis that sneaks into the top 10. So I'm going to lean to the under here, 15.5. I think we'll see more wide receivers and potentially more quarterbacks go as the first round does play out. So under right for the defensive players right here, right now, where this number stands.
I think that's a great point, Joe. If you gave me an over under 6.5 for the top 10, I'd probably take over. But as we lay out later on in the first round, I mean, look at the top 10 odds that we have on FanDuel. A lot of the guys at the top, Ahmad or Sauce Gardner, as he is well known from Cincinnati, the outstanding cornerback, is -550. But then it's a couple of offensive players there. Malik Willis, obviously a quarterback, and Charles Cross, an offensive tackle out of Mississippi State. Kyle Hamilton is a safety. He's -200. But Drake London, a wide receiver. Garrett Wilson, a wide receiver. And we'll get into the wide receiver conversation in a couple of days as well, because I think there's tons of plus money to be had there in terms of who's going to go first, who's going to be that first wide receiver off the board. But as you look at a lot of the plus money for the top 10 prices, guys like Kenny Pickett, +115. Jameson Williams out of Alabama, +300. Desmond Ridder, 10-1. Chris Olave, 14-1. The wide receiver out of Ohio State. Another wideout, Treylon Burks, who out of Arkansas I am incredibly high on as well, as 14-1. Sam Howell, 16-1. Matt Corral, 16-1. Tyler Linderbaum, excuse me, out of Iowa, the outstanding center, who I don't think we need to overthink in terms of what he's going to do in the NFL, 20-1. A lot of those guys that have plus money prices to be a top 10 pick, Joe, will certainly be first round selections in the 2022 NFL draft. But you see what Joe was alluding to there. Plus money prices on offensive players to go in the top 10, but probably be selected later on in the 15 to 28 range or to round out that first round. So I think it's defensive players early, offensive players later, and that's why I think right now the number for offensive player, Joe, at 16.5, where the under has the juice, makes a ton of sense on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, again, I think under for defensive players with the juice, I think they're giving you an opportunity. And just think about the teams that going to have to pick later in the first round, right? We have Detroit. I believe they're in the number 32 slot. We have Kansas City after trading Tyreek Hill that has 29 and 30. Are they in the need for potentially wide receivers? There's Buffalo down there. Do they need some extra pieces for that offense, or do they go defense? So I think you really have to look at the teams at the back half of the first round and say, okay, what are their team needs, and what do they need in terms of immediate impact players? And then you could potentially say, okay, then I'll make my bet accordingly. But if it's me, I'm going over the number for FanDuel for the offensive players. I feel pretty good about that as I see this draft playing out, Ben.
Joe Lisi, fade in the juice, because the juice is on the under of the 16.5 for offensive players and on the over of the 15.5 for defensive players, but that's where we can make some money with slightly better prices. Joe, how about the over or under? 10.5 for SEC players drafted in round number one. I agree with the juice. I think it makes a ton of sense. I think we could rattle off 10 names right now. Trayvon Walker, as we look at it. Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback out of LSU. Evan Neal from Alabama. Jameson Williams from Alabama. Jordan Davis from Georgia. Nakobe Dean. Quay Walker. I mean, the list goes on and on. I think we could get to 10 pretty easily. Treylon Burks, who we just talked about, the wideout out of Arkansas. Maybe Matt Corral in the first round, the quarterback out of Ole Miss. I think they go easily over that 10.5, and the juice makes sense at minus 132.
It does, Ben, but believe it or not, when this line opened, it was 7.5, okay? So now you have a 3-point or three differential from the opening number, right? So that's where I start to, you know, dial it back a little. You're absolutely right. You know, Derek Stingley runs a 4.37. Most likely, he's definitely going to be solidified as a top 25 selection. You mentioned all those Georgia players, Quay Walker, Jordan Davis, that I believe is a top 10 pick as well. I think they're going to be there. And let's not forget about Charles Cross, Evan Neal, right? Jameson Williams. But at the end of the day, I think that now we're sort of capped out. So for me, if I'm making that bet, loved it at 7.5, at 10.5, because I think we're going to be right on the cusp. If you get this, I think it's going to be 11. I don't think it'll be 12 or 13. I don't know if Corral gets there. I believe Corral is the most NFL-ready out of all these quarterbacks. You need a quarterback to come in and get wins. I believe it's Matt Corral. I'm willing to roll the dice on him at 16-1 to be the first quarterback selected, but we'll see how these teams view him as well. So for the SEC bet, I would say a no bet for me. I mean, it's a recommendation because of the movement already, but yeah, to your point, if I had to make it a 10.5, I'd lean to the over, but I don't love it.
Right, and that's a great point, Joe. Have we missed our best number now that it's already up at 10.5? If you got it at 7.5, congratulations. You've done a heck of a job scouting out this market as soon as it opened up, because that would just agree with you to take the over of the 7.5, already cash your ticket, now that it's all the way up to 10.5. Whether it's a draft market, an over-under for a game, a spread for a game, whatever it might be, if you've missed your best number, you let it go. You don't go chasing. You just say, hey, you know what? They got me. The book got me on this one. I missed my moment, and I can no bet this. Sometimes the best bet we make is no bet whatsoever, and we can find plenty of other opportunities because there are so many markets for the NFL draft readily available on whatever sportsbook you use the most. And that will be the interesting conversation. Again, just over 2 weeks away, Joe Lisi, to follow where these odds are now that we have a pretty good picture of where they lay out initially, especially with some of those top names we've been discussing in Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker for that number one overall pick.
Oh, without a doubt. We're just touching the surface right now. As the more reports come in and as teams start jockeying for position, you're going to see these markets move immensely. Over the weekend, will be really about 10 days away over the weekend. Right. That's where you'll see the most movement, about 10 to 5 days out, Ben.
So we have some football this weekend as well. Not just looking forward to the NFL draft, but the USFL debuts in Alabama this weekend. And there are lines out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll look at some of those prices and start our USFL handicapping on Football Full Circle with Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi. Come back for one more segment with us here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
You want USFL lines? Well, we have USFL lines for you here as we round out a Wednesday edition of Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, the USFL gets underway on Saturday night. The New Jersey Generals, a 3.5-point dog against the Birmingham Stallions. How are we going to cap some USFL, my friend?
Well, here's what I learned in terms of, you know, capping the XFL a couple of years ago is that, you know, early on, the quarterback to wide receiver relationship, offensive line continuity, it was not there. Dead unders in like 15 of the first 17 games, Ben. You could go back and look at that. For the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, they were dead unders. I believe in order for the USFL to actually take off and draw in people, when you look at these lines and totals, I'm on the overs early. I really believe that because these lines are such a huge discrepancy where the XFL lines were a couple of years ago. They were in the low 30s, and now we're opening these up at 42.5 across the board respectively. I believe in order to buy in and have people buy in, they want high-scoring games, maybe less penalties. I'm going over on a majority of the opening season games week number one.
Joe, it shows me that, like us maybe right now, the handicapping is very fresh and very young when it comes to the USFL because the odds that are being set are all relatively the same. Three of the four games that we have on opening weekend in the USFL, all a total of 42.5. The only difference is for Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh at 41.5, the Bandits and the Maulers. And most of the spreads are right around that number of 3.5 in two of the games, 3.5 for another, and 4.5 in favor of the Tampa Bay Bandits, co-favorites to win the USFL with the Michigan Panthers. He is Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. This is a Wednesday now in the books on Football Full Circle here on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the money line is up next. They'll preview the NBA play-in tournament action tonight. Talk to everybody tomorrow.